This is KGMI Connects with Joe Tien, a live local show about our community and you on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham and KGMI.com.
Well, good to have you with us here on this kind of became a rainy sort of a Thursday afternoon. Rainy and cool today. We had spring weather. But I guess it's April showers and all that. But great to have you with us here on this Thursday, and hope you'll join our conversation and take it in whatever direction you wish it to go. 360-676-5464 is the phone number. I was out walking the dog this morning when my daughter called me and said, "Hey, did you, Dad, O.J. Simpson died." That took me back, as it did most of us, I suppose, to one point or other during that tumultuous time, whether it was the white Bronco chase, the slow speed chase along the freeways in Los Angeles, or the many, many hours of the trial that were televised, or the video almost daily of O.J. being transported to or from court, and the infamous moments from the trial, culminating, "If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit." And then the jury deliberating for 4 hours after all of that and saying, "Nope, not guilty." So pretty amazing time if you think about it. You know, it was that 94 to 95. I forget exactly how many months the trial went on. And twists and turns. We had, Mark Furman was the L.A. police officer who found the glove and then was later found to have uttered racist epithets everything, as they said in the CBS newscast top of the hour, everything kind of was wound up in this, with from racism to domestic violence and how the wealthy and well-known and powerful are treated by the justice system as opposed to just the little old us. But quite the episode. But O.J. Simpson has passed away. Apparently he had been suffering from prostate cancer for some time. But we hope to hear from you. 360-676-5464. Let's get going with Joe in Bellingham today. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe. Have you noticed that people write not as often as they used to?
Yeah, write letters?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, I guess it's because of the computer.
I suppose an email and texting, it makes it so much quicker and easier, I guess. Yeah.
I love to get the letter and you feel it and rip it open and, "Oh boy, I got it," you know. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I used to write letters. I really enjoyed writing letters. Like when I was young and I'd be traveling and stuff, I'd write to my family or write to friends. I'd send postcards and that sort of thing. And you know, I have to admit, I haven't done that in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I always stop to think when we hear about, like on Capitol Hill, this group of senators sent a letter to the White House, or this committee penned a letter to this committee, and are they really sending those? How do they send those letters? I must be a courier. I guess they write it, and then they say, "Here, Paige, take this across the hall to the other guys over there, or take this down the block to the White House and drop it in the official mailbox." But I guess they still send old school letters. They must, if they're rather than emails, you know.
I like our president. I think he's trying to do a good job, but I wish they would talk about homelessness. Nobody's talking about the homeless, you know.
Yeah.
Even the Socialist Worker Party, they don't give a damn about the homeless, you know, or the Wobblies, or all these groups that are supposed to be for the little guy, you know.
Yeah, I guess, well, Wobblies, I guess their focus is on workers, and I can't fault them or organizations for having a focus on a specific problem or a specific group of people. But yeah, and you're right. I think the homeless are, they're sort of the way they are, the forgotten folks, or maybe those that that we don't want to notice. We turn away from them.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Joe. Well, thanks for giving us a call, and I guess maybe people should write letters a little bit more often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Have a good day. Let's go to, Robert in Bellingham's on the line. Hi, Robert.
Hello. Well, I still write some letters. I use the internet, but I still enjoy using the mail because I enjoy mail some, too. And I filled out my tax form by paper because I was having trouble doing it online. So I went back to paper this time and mailed it in.
Okay. All right. So was you did the whole thing? Did you filled it out by hand? Printed out the form.
I tried online and it was balking. And I think Biden's got a good idea. He wants to make it easier to deal with the IRS directly because we have free file if you're below 70,000, which is low income. We can do free file so we don't have to pay to have an accountant do our taxes. And you use but the private companies that provide that do it as a loss leader. Uh-huh. And the problem is that they're confusing. Some of them are better than others, but you change next year, another company, you may not be eligible to use that company anymore because they're trying to sell you the product next, and they're not providing the free file. So you have to find another company and start over.
Oh.
I think that's happened to me before. Maybe there's some that go year after year, but it'd be nice if there was one company that the IRS contracted with, like TurboTax or something, and you could just use it and not have to pay if you're low income for free file. But I had that, and then I tried to do fillable forms, which, because I couldn't figure that out somehow. So I went to fillable forms, and it just balked. It wouldn't do that. But a friend of mine still sends them in by paper. So I went to the library, got the form I need, and then I just had everything. I put it on the computer, I filled it out as a PDF file, but I had all the numbers, but it wouldn't take the numbers on the IRS website. So I put them all on paper, and then I mailed it in to the IRS.
Yeah. Were you going to get money back, or did you have to send a check?
Yeah. Okay. I'll get some money back. I'll get a small amount back.
Uh-huh.
So I figured it all out, and I think I got it to work, but it's getting really complicated. But I hope some of the new IRS funding can help them. That's one of the goals, is to make it easier to deal with that, to clear that up.
And I guess they have this new free file system, but I talked to a couple of people who tried it, and they got really frustrated. And I guess I understand the IRS they're trying to fight fraud and really be on top of this, make sure people aren't trying to file in the name of someone else and steal their tax refund, that sort of thing. But I guess the two people I talked to who tried this free file system were really frustrated with all the two-factor authentication and everything they needed, and it just... They said just to create their own account with the program was really, really frustrating, and they ended up giving it up and just going to one of the other paid sites I use the paid
problem.
Site you start with, okay, I think I can do just the lowest priced one, so you go in that, and then I need this other form, so then I go to get that form and it says, to get this form, you have to go with this plan that is twice as expensive.
I think it's like health insurance. Private enterprise is a great system, but it also can make things more complicated. And you got all these competing companies, and this company does this for you. If you need this service, like everybody's tax form is different, about. So this company won't cover that. So then you get it half filled out, and then you have to change companies. And
yeah, And just
the IRS, if you could just do it one stop through the IRS. But I think if the government were to write the programs, it might still be complicated. So what they should do is subcontract it, find a good, streamlined, well-done private, like one of the big...
Yeah.
And make that...
Yeah.
But unfortunately... I think they're planning to do that, maybe, if they can have enough money to just beef up the IRS. But if the Republicans take the money away all from the IRS, then it'll just be for the little taxpayer. It's just going to be more of a morass of complexity. And then for the people, it's just going to be, well, they don't enforce tax laws anymore, so they don't have to pay their taxes.
All right, Robert. Yep, I know. No, with nothing easy there. But thanks for your call. And just be careful if you watch out when you're filling out forms online and make sure that you are on the website that you think you are. That I felt really dumb. This was a number of years ago. I had to renew my passport, and I got online and clicked on this, oh, yeah, renew your passport, you know, here's the form, and clicked on the form, started filling it out with all, you know, my personal information and everything, and then I realized somewhere in there that, oh, this isn't the State Department website. This is just some other organization that's offering, they were the official forms and all that, but then you'd go through, you fill out the forms, and then they wanted you to pay a fee for just using the form. And it's a free form that you get from the State Department. You don't have to fill it out, you know, you don't have to pay for the form from the State Department, but this website was making you pay for the, just to fill out the form on their website. And then they would forward it to the State Department, but you're paying money for a form that's free from the Department of State. So just be careful with that. You never know where your personal information might go from there. So, I felt like a real dodo. I didn't tell my kids because I knew they would mock me. But we'll take a quick break. Be back with more. We got, we got Jim and Rich and Marty on the line, and we want to hear from you too. 360-676-5464. It's KGMI Connects.
Whatcom Intergenerational High School is the only tuition-free public charter high school in Whatcom County available to Washington State residents.
They provide a unique learning experience where students co-create their classroom experience, enabling them to pursue their passions, think critically, and learn to solve real-world problems. Students participate in phenomenon-based learning with hands-on experiences like serving meals to the unhoused, raising salmon from eggs and releasing them, invasive plant removal, and support for the Whatcom Humane Society.
They also include community elders, providing education, support, and a connection for students. Together, students and their elder allies are connecting and changing the world for the better.
Looking for an educational connection where students co-create their classroom experience with meaningful relationships and a sense of belonging? Find out what makes Whatcom Intergenerational High School uniquely different online at wihs.school. Book your tour today. Space is limited. Enroll your student now.
Pros, save big every day when you buy in bulk at Lowe's. Save 10% on bulk purchases of select roofing shingles. Plus, save an extra 5% every day on eligible purchases when you use your Lowe's business credit card. Visit us in-store or online for low prices on the materials you need. Lowe's knows pros. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. 5% offer subject to credit approval. Exclusions and terms apply. See store Lowe's.com/credit for details. U.S. only.
I lock up my Old Spice Fiji aluminum-free dry spray to keep that 24/7 lasting freshness safe for myself. Fresh coconuts, palm trees in the wind. It's like catching waves in Fiji. Actually, I just talked myself into a refreshing spritz of Fiji. My Old Spice is missing! No!
Hey, Hey, I just finished my spring carpet cleaning early this year thanks to the help of Swan's Clean Care and Restoration. Amazing as always.
Really? I'd love to have Swan's Clean Care clean my carpets, but isn't it expensive?
With Swan's, it's a lot less than you think. And with their new referral program, we'll both get a nice discount. Just go to their website, then call and tell them I sent you.
Fresh, clean carpets? Swan's, here I come. Hey, what's that website?
SwansCarpetCleaning.com. But hurry, it's only happening through May 31st.
If you've ever shopped those chains and big box stores for carpet and flooring, you know there's limited selection and you'll wait weeks for delivery and installation. Discover the true difference at Carpet Liquidators. Our warehouses are full of brand name carpet and flooring, including Mohawk Smart Strand Silk Forever Clean, and all in stock, on sale, and ready for immediate delivery and installation. Carpet Liquidators, locally owned and operated since 1988 with seven Western Washington locations.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects.
360-676-5464.
Thanks for being with us here on this Thursday afternoon. Let's go to, Rich in Ferndale's on the line. Hi, Rich.
How's it going, Joe?
Good, good. What's on your mind today?
Oh, we were talking about homelessness earlier, and you said that they were kind of forgotten, but I don't think they're forgotten. I Googled it real fast. Seattle spends $111 million per year on human services for the homeless. That's according to budget and funding source, something or other, seattle.gov. It came up on Google. And then the state spends $600 million. So the state and our government has not forgotten homeless. They're a decent-sized budget item. And, of course, we've got our nonprofits in Bellingham, such as the Lighthouse Mission. They haven't forgot about them either. They take care of them every day. And I don't know if they receive government money. They probably do to some extent. But they're largely supported by you and me, Joe, local people.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't forgot about them, and Whatcom County is known for its pretty good homeless services, if you will call it that. I guess it's for everything except people who refuse to stop doing drugs. They don't really get services, or they get a super minimal amount. So we're pretty nice.
Not seeking,
I would say,
them, yeah.
Well, that's true. They're not seeking them, and that's the question. Should we force them to get off the drugs? And there's a case to be made that we probably should. It's pretty sad to see them live how they live, and it's, as Jay Inslee said a while back, it robs them of their free will, and that's true.
Yeah.
You are not your own when you're addicted to drugs. You are controlled by the drugs, and you choose the drugs over your family and friends and everything. You choose to live in a tent behind Walmart for 8 years because of drugs. There's no other reason why you would stay there.
Yeah,
you know,
but
maybe
at a certain point, I think with the, you know, any of these addictions, it goes beyond choice. It's not something I think many of those folks even choose. Like you said, they're controlled by these drugs.
I know, and that's where compassionate law needs to run them through a mandatory detox. I think that would be good for them and good for society.
But it's not.
That is how you help them.
But you can't. But just detoxing someone doesn't.
Counseling and some other things
them.
As well.
Yeah, but then you also have to account for just you detox them, then you send them back out, then they have back out on the street.
Job
they're
place.
Back
no,
in the
no,
same
no, no,
world.
No. Job placement, training, counseling, a comprehensive setup similar to how our new jail is supposed to be structured,
and then,
something along those lines where they reintegrate you. I mean, that's the liberal way, right? Compassion and caring and helping. That's
and,
how you do it.
Right. And housing. I mean, housing is probably
well,
the first
a, housing
step
comes,
that they need.
No. Housing comes when you get them a job. Maybe you have temporary housing that's free. But once you've integrated them into society as a normal person after, I don't know, 8, 10 months, a year, however long it takes to get detoxed and all that, then you will have an income, and then you'll be able to get your own housing.
Okay.
Self-sufficiency.
All right.
It's not.
Well,
this is not rocket science, and it should be done.
Well,
and the fact that we allow it to occur on the streets is pretty sad.
It is tragic, that's for sure. And I guess I would say once again, it's not easy. It's not rocket science rather. But it is. It's not easy. But I mean, some of those ideas, I'm all for. You know, let's have temporary housing, but then. That's another huge investment and just operating those kinds of facilities. But thanks, Rich. And you're right. They're not completely forgotten. We do spend money on them and on services for folks who are without a home. But it's pretty obvious that either we or a combination of us and them and everyone needs to do more. But thanks. Let's go to Marty in Linden. Hi, Marty.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Well, good. What's on your mind?
Well, a couple of things, but you know what Rich and Verdale was talking about is great ideas, actually. And most of them are breaking the law anyway with the way they're existing on public lands and so on. They should be locked up in a kind of detox facility. But the main thing I wanted to talk about is that the eclipse we had on Monday.
Okay.
It was a phenomenal thing. It's amazing how so many people gather around in fields where it's going to be a total eclipse, and it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or Democrat, we're all awestruck by it all. Mm-hmm. And the main thing is that I'm a believer in God Almighty, maker and creator of heaven and earth, and it's just how God has put it all together on this solar system of ours, let alone beyond our solar system, but how we can time it, we can understand where the next eclipse is going to be, and even years into the future. It's just so, it's glory to God. I'm just so totally amazed by it all. And that's kind of what I wanted to bring up. And stuff like when people say Mother Nature, it's not Mother Nature. It's God's created order that he has put into place and to keep moving. It's just amazing.
Okay. But I guess I would say, too, though, that it's our ability as human beings and our sentient minds that has allowed us to be able to predict and understand these phenomena and how they'll interact and how when they'll like when the next one will occur and where it will be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, and the education that we know about the celestial beings above our skyline is it's accumulation of centuries. You know, people have been staring up into the heavens for years, and it's just totally amazing that we can find out these things. It's just amazing to me.
All right, Marty.
I just wanted to bring that up.
You bet.
Have a good day.
You
thanks,
too.
Joe.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah.
Let's go to Keith over on Sandy Point Heights. Hi, Keith.
Yeah, hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
You
thank
bet.
You.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was calling in regards to, I guess, retired people and regards to inflation.
Okay.
In my career, I did a lot of mathematics. I didn't go to college, but I was always good at math ever since fourth grade, believe it or not. Anyways, I became a great engineer for several big construction companies.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I could calculate asphalt for a mile on Hannigan, length times width times depth. Or your driveway might be 50 feet long, length times width times depth.
Uh-huh.
So I did a lot of math. Anyways, so what I did, I have Social Security. I'm retired. And we get COLA, cost of living allowance. And so far, it's kind of hanging in there pretty good. You know, we got a big one, and this year we got a little bit smaller one. And coming year, it looks like it's going to be 3.12 or whatever. But I also have a union retirement account. And in 2022, 9% inflation. 2023, let's say 3% inflation. And this is easy math. 2024. Right now, 3.4, but I wrote down 3.5. And then 2025, who knows, I wrote down 3.5 for a total of 19% inflation. I multiplied a retirement account, not mine, but let's say a union retirement, $3,000 a month. After 1, 2, 3, 4 years, your $3,000 is worth $2,430.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm wondering is, what's going to happen if that goes on for another 8 years? Now you're going to minus another $570. Now your $3,000 is going to be worth less than $2,000. And, you know, and back in the, like, I'm not going to say Trump, but back in that stretch, inflation at one point was 1.2. I can deal with that. At 1.2, I can savings, get investment savings. I can help make up for that. But at this 19% over 4 years, plus groceries and gas and all that, it's hard to make up. I was saving money before. I am not. I also now I'm at a standstill. And it's not so much me. I'm fine. But what about these young guys and these people coming up almost to retirement? Maybe they should talk to their unions, companies, or and talk to them about, hey, what are we going to do when we retire? Inflation's going crazy. maybe we should implement something in our contracts for a little bit of COLA to kind of help make up for it. I don't know. Yeah. I just threw that out there.
All right. All right, Keith. Yeah, and it's been a tough stretch. I won't deny it. I mean, prices are up for everybody, and lower income Americans are struggling. That's true. But all right.
I mean, if I lived to be 82, my retirement could be down to $1,000. You know, I mean, if inflation keeps going. It's something to think about.
Well, all right. Anyway, hopefully you got grandkids and grandkids to help support you. Say, hey.
Yeah, I can move in with them.
There you go. Okay. All right, Keith. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take a quick break and be back with more, and hope to hear from you. 360-676-5464.
If you're ready to jumpstart that kitchen remodel, upgrade your barbecue, or start sleeping better on a new bed, DeWarden Bodie is ready to help with their spring clearance on home appliances, barbecues, and mattresses. They've got some unbelievable offers for you this weekend. I'm talking savings up to 50% off retail prices you'll see at other stores on floor models and blemished items. They've got one-of-a-kind deals on closeout Weber barbecues, Traeger smokers, and Gosney pizza ovens, plus deep discounts on a huge selection of major home appliances. This spring, refresh and renew your sleep with a new mattress so you can wake up feeling ready to tackle your spring cleaning. With more than 40 mattresses on display at their Bellingham showroom, they'll help you find the perfect fit at the perfect price. Plus, get your new mattress delivered and set up for free on qualifying purchases, and start sleeping better tonight with no money down and no interest for up to 5 years. But hurry in. One-only spring clearance deals are only available while supplies last at DeWarden Bodie in Bellingham and Burlington.
When you buy a Subaru from Dewey Griffin, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying safety for your family, an investment that will hold its value, and reliability that will last a long, long time. Simply put, you're buying trust. Stop into Dewey Griffin Subaru and find out how you can get up to 1.9% APR financing on select new 2024 Subaru Outback models. Dewey has a huge inventory of new Subarus, from the 8-passenger Ascent to the Outback and Forester to the Impreza and the all-new Crosstrek. A Subaru from Dewey Griffin will get you and your family where you need to go, safely. And when you purchase a Subaru from Dewey, you'll be supporting a local dealership that supports our local community. Need service? Dewey's Express Service Center's open 6 days a week. Stop in for your next oil change or any other minor maintenance, and you'll get a free car wash with any service. Dewey Griffin Subaru. Community-minded, community-driven, and the only Subaru-certified tire and service center in Whatcom County.
The average family throws out $1,500 of food every year. That's a lot. Imagine what you could do with extra cash. There are simple ways to reduce your food waste and increase your savings. It starts with a meal plan, a menu, a shopping list, and ends with a little creativity, fresh recipes, ingredient swaps, and new kitchen skills. Get tips to reduce food waste and make your dollar go further. Know the cost. Go to usefoodwell.org to learn more.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Harness the power of the sun, reduce your carbon footprint, and save on your energy bills. Explore the advantages of going solar with West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham.
Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Great to have you with us here on this Thursday. Let's go to Bob in Birch Bay. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Joe. Hope you're having a good day.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And you too. What's on your mind here?
Thank you. Well, Rich made a comment talking about the homeless, about the Lighthouse Mission. And I did three different terms there as a board president years ago. And I know the directors and the board policy at that time was not to take any government funding at all. And his slogan was, when you take shekels, they're shackles. So, you know, they didn't want any any ties to come back and fight, you know. So, and I'm a different director now, but I don't know that it's any different than it was then.
I rely
heavily on this private funding. But they do have a real, exhaustive program for people that are willing to partake in it. And get them out of base camp and get them into the Lighthouse Mission proper. We've got a long-term, year-long program where it ends up with getting the people into housing and working a job. So, but they can only do so much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the other concern I had was I just saw here in the paper the other day where the city just spent $1.2 million to buy a piece of property on 3300 Northwest Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Move two of the tiny house camps to. And I don't know where the money comes, but it's quite a bit to spend. And it just seems like it's awful close to the Shuckson Middle School, that kind of an encampment. So I don't know. I know they got it from somewhere, but that was just my comment. I'm just curious why there was. As much as I know, there wasn't any public input at the council meetings or anything discussing that, but maybe there was.
Well, they're going to be. What the city has said is there will be public hearings as they move forward with this plan, and it still has to go through the permitting stage and everything. But yeah, they bought this property, and the long-term goal is actually to establish, I think, more permanent affordable housing on that spot. Like, you know, some of these housing projects the city has promoted, like down on Samish Way. But the short term would be to move these tiny home villages. Two of them, their permits are going to run out. The one there at the Frank Jerry ball fields and the other one down at the Post Point wastewater treatment plant that's been down there. So they have to go somewhere, and they've decided that this is a good spot for them. They've operated without really any issues. They're well maintained. They're well, people who live there are pre-screened. It's not a free for all. It seems that as far as because they're the existing ones are right in the middle of this, especially the one at the ball fields there at Civic Field are. Right there in neighborhoods, you know, and they've functioned really well, it seems like. So I don't know that they're a danger to the neighborhood, but
Okay, well, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right, Bob.
Well, thanks. You know,
thanks for your
that.
Call. Appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You too. And I know the mission they do really good work, and they do help people turn their lives around, and they do offer temporary shelter to people that maybe aren't ready to take that step. I think I don't think they do take any public funds. I think probably the idea is to not have to adhere then to any kind of conditions that the government might have on the, you know, how the funds are spent or on programs, how they're conducted, that sort of thing, because it is a ministry. Let's go to Michael in Linden. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Joe. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Good. Good to hear. I've got to echo your comments about the Lighthouse Mission and the tiny villages here in the local community. I think they really are a model of success, the way they help the people that are homeless.
Uh-huh.
I'm a big believer in that. But I would like to remind callers when, you know, the politicians are talking about, hey, we need some money for the homeless, or we need money for student loans, for student loan repayments. We need to understand that doesn't mean the money is actually going to go to the homeless. It's actually not going to go to the students. Where the money is going to go is to the banks that loaned the students the money. So really all Joe Biden is doing is rewarding his big bank donors with a big windfall of taxpayer money all at once. Okay. That's exactly what he's trying to do. Now, as far as the homelessness problem, you know, again, the money never seems to get to the homeless. Where it goes, it goes to pay highly compensated college-educated people that say they are going to help the homeless. And, for example, I would like to point out the Mark Doan's situation from the King County Regional Homeless Authority from a couple of years ago. He was making $250,000 a year as the head of the King County Regional Homeless Authority, which was actually created to help unify and coordinate all of the strayed and splintering homeless programs for the entire county. He hired over 100 people, all of them making between $113,000 to $160,000 a year. And they were had benefits that included unlimited vacation, 96 hours of paid sick leave, 12 official holidays, 2 personal holidays, so on and so forth. And at the end of the day, they housed about 96 people.
Okay. All right.
So we just have to look at, you know, when we talk about we're going to be helping the homeless, too often really who we're helping is just Democrat Party, you know, nonprofits and non-governmental associations that are just pocketing a lot of this money themselves, and it never really gets to the intended recipient. I kind of equate it to like Goodwill. Okay. You know, we see all of these people donating so many things to Value Village or Goodwill. I see a line of people donating so many things every day. And really, these people intend these things to go to somebody that's less fortunate, somebody who could use it, somebody who could need it. Wow. But instead, it's resold at a profit. And Value Village, remember, was sued by Attorney General Bob Ferguson because they claimed to be a nonprofit. And the way they're able to keep that nonprofit status is they offer a GED program or something like that, where maybe 3, maybe a half dozen people even take part of in every year. But each one of those locations is generating $40,000 of revenue each and every month.
Well, and Value Village is a different entity than Goodwill. And Goodwill does have many more programs that benefit people. And I don't think anybody drops things off at Goodwill thinking, oh, this is going to go to a family, you know, be awarded to a family or that sort of thing. I think we know, because we drop it off right in the back of the store. You know, it's going to go into the store, and it's going to
convenient.
Benefit.
It's very convenient for people to do, but I would encourage people that do have things to donate to consider donating them to a local church or a local organization that will actually get that stuff to people that are in need or can help coordinate or facilitate that.
Well, they're
instead
a different
of
place.
Taking that option.
Okay. All right. Okay, Michael. Thanks for your call.
Thanks again for...
Any money that's given to homeless efforts or what have you, it should be well accounted for and not spent frivolously. Although someone who is hired to coordinate the homeless efforts in a place as vast and as challenging as King County should, I don't think $250,000 a year is an outrageous amount. I to be honest with you. You know, that's on the upper edge of middle income anymore, is it not? I mean, I don't make anywhere near that. Don't get me wrong, but you know, it's not anywhere near what the corporate salaries are. That person could maybe make a lot more in the private sector. But let's go to Jim in Bellingham. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
I'm super. Thanks for hanging on.
Super. Good. I want to talk about inflation, but I'll try to get to that later or tomorrow.
Okay.
I wanted to respond to Dennis Prager today. He was using some invective against people who resist, you know, the right-wing onslaught that's facing us. And he brought up some very unpleasant things that happened to the French resistance if they got caught. So just to be encouraging to people on my side, on the left side, for peace and prosperity and preserving the environment is a means to get both of the two. That, you know, Rush Limbaugh used to say resistance is futile. But we know when World War II, the master race of World War II was the Germans, the Nazis in particular. And so they ended up where? Dresden firebombed, Nuremberg, hangings of convicted atrocity dispensers. Hitler himself, the leader, blew his brains out in a bunker. And 95,000 Germans of the 6th Army under von Paulus were trapped in Stalingrad, and only 5,000 of them ever made it. So an eye for an eye, I'll say to that biblical guy, Dennis Prager.
Okay.
And this describes what Dennis Prager really is. It comes from a Jewish man, a left-wing Jew, Michael Newman, N-E-U-M-A-N, and I've quoted him before, what is anti-Semitism? And he says... they emerge as the racist obliviousness of a persecuted people blossomed into the racial supremacist ideology of a persecuting one.
Okay.
So this is this Dennis Prager who probably fits the bill according to what I listen to him. Okay. Racial supremacist ideology of a persecuting one. Of course, you could never get anywhere near a fair debate on what's going on. If you watch the mainstream at all, it's always October 7th. The whole world started on October 7th. And so I've got more to say, but, I'm the resistance, too. I don't appreciate him using such the negative language towards us. And But I know he's a fascist. I know he's bad. And I'll get to the inflation tomorrow. How's that sound?
Sounds good, Jim. Just remember, Dennis Prager is just a talk show host. He's not actually creating policy, or he's trying to influence people's thinking. That's true. But just keep it in perspective, I guess I would say. And Jim, I think, makes a legitimate point that the world didn't start on October 7th, and the conflict and suffering by the Palestinian people had gone on for a long, long time. You can attribute that to what you will, but they have suffered the tension has been building. It builds and builds, and then it explodes. And this is a cycle that's happened ever since this conflict began. We'll take a quick break, and I'm not excusing what happened on October 7th by any means. That was an atrocity, and once again, I think Hamas obviously knew what the response would be, and expected the Palestinian people to just suffer the brunt of Israel's response, which once again, Hamas knew what was going to transpire. Quick break, back with more, and hopefully you'll give us a call and tell us what's on your mind here on this Thursday afternoon, 360-676-5464.
Welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you. Did I just step into a Dreamliner?
Airporter Shuttle's new luxury motor coaches surprise even seasoned travelers.
Have to admit, I'm kind of blown away here.
Loads of legroom, LED ceiling lighting, tiered theater seating, and three-point seat belts. Save on fuel and parking. Enjoy a quieter, more productive, and swanky cool ride to SeaTac Airport. Visit airporter.com. Airporter.com and ride today.
Roof leaking?
It would appear.
The same roof you were going to call Jostens Roofing about last summer?
Yeah.
Now what?
Could you just hand me a mop?
Sure, if you think you're going to use it now or wait till next year. Sorry.
A leaky roof? It's no laughing matter. Go to jostensroofing.com to schedule a free estimate. You don't have to wait till summer. Jostens Roofing will keep you dry and leak-free all year long. Spelled like Jostens. Visit Joostens. JostensRoofing.com.
Trust. It's the foundation of every lock and key, and it's the reason Accurate Lock and Security has been serving Northwest Washington for over 90 years, because people know that Accurate are the ones you can trust to protect your valuables. From Abloy to Medico to Keymark, Accurate's high security locks offer a patented key blank that only contracted dealers can cut, extreme resistance to physical attack, and a variety of security enhancements to bolster your protection. Accurate Lock and Security, the security professional team. Online at AccurateLock.net.
KGMI wants to put a grand in your hand. You could be one word away from a chance to win $1,000.
That's right. Just listen each weekday to KGMI for the keyword during the 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours.
Then go to the Grand in Your Hand contest page at mybellinghamnow.com before midnight and enter each keyword for your chance to win $1,000.
We'll have four keywords each weekday so you can increase your chances of winning by entering all four every day we play the contest.
You already listen to KGMI for the latest local news and discussion of the latest issues. Now you can win $1,000 while you do it.
A Grand in Your Hand is brought to you on KGMI by Niederhaus of Luxury, Whatcom County's newest fine jewelry store, next to Lombardi's on Bellwether Way.
A Grand in Your Hand is back on KGMI.
Get details at mybellinghamnow.com.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects.
360-676-5464.
And we do have time to take your calls here on KGMI Connects for the end of the program. But, you know, back to the homeless issue, and people say, oh, you know, we should have mandatory, I guess, lockups and detox for people. Not everybody who's homeless is addicted to fentanyl or debilitating drugs or alcohol to a debilitating extent. Many are, but not all. And there are many circumstances that might lead someone to be homeless, and we can't forget that. But for those who are addicted, I mean, okay, you're talking about, okay, we lock them all up and detox them. Then, okay, that means we've got to have a facility. I'm just thinking this through. I'm thinking out loud. We need to have a facility big enough to hold however many. What do we have, over 1,000 people here in our community that are in Whatcom County that are unsheltered every night? I don't know the exact number. They count that once a year, come up with an estimate anyway. And then so out of that group, you've got a certain percentage who are, I guess, chronically addicted. Then so you lock them up. And I don't know. Say it's a several hundred. So you lock them up. You've got to have a facility that can hold that many people. And then you've got to have people operate that facility. And not only are they just guards or those keeping people penned in, but you've got to have medical professionals on site, because people who are addicted to these dangerous drugs, you know, withdrawal is not just unpleasant. In many cases, it's life-threatening. And so you've got to have people ready to deal with those symptoms and that situation. And this is all 24/7, all going on. So then, okay, and this is going to be a continually rotating population. It's not like you take them all at once and load them in there and dry them out, and then get them all fixed up within a certain period of time. Okay, you're detoxed. How long does that take? I don't even know. A couple weeks, few weeks or something. Then, okay, then you keep them in there, or then you then get them into a housing situation as you bring another group in to be detoxed. And what is that housing situation? Is that like we buy some old hotels, or we build tiny home villages? I'm talking about here. It's not just a simple process. I mean, it's not something you can just throw together and, okay, here, let's do this. It take immense planning and gobs and gobs and gobs of money. And not that I think that the money would be poorly spent. Well, I think maybe locking people up and to deal with an issue like that, I don't know that that's the way to go. Because then once you get them detoxed, then you send them back out into that environment that they've been in. Well, they just are back in that environment and with the same people and the same issues and relapsing again. And everything that I've ever read about addiction and those who are homeless and addicted, the first step in getting them off of whatever they're on is or addicted to is to get a roof over their head. And I don't know that just locking them up is the way to do that. And even locking them up is no guarantee that you'll detox them. I mean, look, we've got another story today about an inmate who was caught for a second time with drugs, with fentanyl. Yeah. This is the second time. Person was, found following the search of inmates after an overdose death in late March. A week later, he became sick in his cell. He admitted that he had consumed suspected fentanyl that he had brought into the jail. He got it into the jail. And somehow had been able to ingest it almost regularly while he was in the jail. So, I mean, none of these things are the total fix. But real quick, I guess, and without, you know, not without meaning to pun there, but real quick, let's go to Bruce in Bellingham. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Joe. In regards to the homeless situation, I was homeless for a good stretch. Okay. Fortunately, at that time, I had a early 70 Caprice Classic. I could and a place where people said it's okay to park. And the last place I would want to be hanging out is with the people that hang out in the park across from the antique malls, a couple blocks up, you know, on Holly from the Mission, or in a homeless shelter behind Walmart. I mean, no, that's a creepy crawly situation. But the thing is, there's many homeless out there who that's exactly what they're trying to avoid. Uh-huh. They're not druggies. They are victims of circumstance. And I have a feeling a lot of these people that are of the derelict nature have heard of that in Whatcom County, the benefits are really good for people in that situation and have arrived here from elsewhere. I think a lot of the people that are from here, you know, some of them are the indigenous population and, you know, usually have more respect for this area and are trying to keep it together with respect for themselves. And the high price of, in fact, I mentioned this once before, and 2 days after I mentioned it, a national news broadcast kind of reiterated what I said. There was over last year to the beginning of whenever, you know, the next year when they start counting again, there's a 13% increase in homelessness. Uh-huh. And they were almost all first-timers, and it was due to being pushed out of house and home from the skyrocketing cost of housing.
Yeah, yeah. That's not a shocker, that's for sure. All right. Well, thanks, Bruce. Appreciate your thoughts.
Sure, Joe. Yeah. Thanks for letting me get on in.
Absolutely. Thanks for your call. As far as where our homeless population is from, I'm not sure. I don't know, but I've seen surveys in other areas that found that they were largely from that area. But maybe the border makes it a different situation here for us. But well, hope you have a great rest of your Thursday. You can think about happy thoughts, and we'll be back to talk about everything tomorrow, 4 o'clock. KGMI Connects.